Blog Talk Radio.
Workshop. So we are going to be with our guests and just me today. We are not simultaneously broadcasting. There is no WebEx associated with this. I just can't manage both boards at once. We're being brought to you by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and South Health, located in southeastern Ohio. That wonderful music you heard at the beginning was done by Tommy Priakas. And to me, that music brings up expectations. Now, I don't know how these people create emotions with music, but our guest does. She is one of our longtime favorites, Jill Mattson. She runs around the world spreading sunshine and doing workshops, making CDs, composing music about sound healing. She's a prolific painter. I think she does all of her own CD covers. She's a talented violinist, author of many books about sound and healing. She has a fascinating new book that's about to be published, Lost Waves of Time. And she gave us a little bit of a peek into that book, but I want to know more. She is also a bioacoustic research associate. She's very, very prolific. I don't know where she gets the time to do all the stuff that she does, but it's a joy to have her with us. Welcome, Jill Mattson.
Well, thank you, and it's a joy to be here.
If you'd like to go to Jill's website, is Jill's Wings of Light. And you can see more there about Jill and who she is and what she looks like. And she kind of looks like a little elfin person. I first met Jill, many years ago. And she walked up to me. We were at a Columbus workshop, expo. And she said, I'm going to write a book about you. And I have heard that so many times from so many people. I'm going to write an article about you. I'm going to do a movie about you. But they start looking at what we do, and they just can't get their head around everything that happens. But Jill did, and a few months later, she came back with a book, and I was just floored. I was embarrassed, but I was floored at the same time. The book was about me and how all of the things that lead up to us doing research at the Research Institute, the Sound Health Institute, and teaching these classes with people. So Jill wrote a book, Secret Sounds, Ultimate Healing. And it's about the background of this that I already knew, but other people find fascinating. What I found absolutely fascinating, intriguing, non-stop jump into and become part of, is the third part of this book, which is about ancient healing. And I begin to know Jill. She appeared at our conferences, she gave talks, she played music, she was incredibly supportive, and now she travels around the world doing all of this and reading and researching, and she's going to talk to us about three things that I know of: a new organization that she's involved with, she did an Ebola CD to back off Ebola, but that's kind of died down, the new book, Lost Waves of Time, and some new Atlantean healing codes. Another fascinating aspect I'm going to ask her about is the hidden political aspects of manipulation and crowd control that's been going on for centuries. Joy.
All right.
Joy to be here.
Gosh, that sounds exciting. I can hardly wait.
Where do you want to start?
How about the Atlantean healing technique?
Okay, great.
All right.
Is that on your site?
Just barely. I think it's maybe a day or so old. I just have a new product, but I want to share how I came upon this idea. I'm really good at slipping into past lives or different dimensions. I easily leave my body. And so doing one of these journeys, I had this experience where children were playing with toys that were organs. And my memory was tripped by some information written by Shirley MacLaine. And that kind of started the vision. So anyway, I get in there and I see these Atlantean Lemurian children. And not only are they playing with little toy organs, I mean, no Barbies, no G.I. Joes. You'll get a spleen instead. So they're getting used to the shape and the color. But that many of these early beings in my vision had clairvoyant and clairaudient hearing, kind of like you, Sherry. And again, thinking with my vision, the Lemurian people would be sea people, perhaps with a hearing similar to yours, Sherry. So anyway, they're learning to recognize where the organs were, what they looked like, and what they sounded like. So if you had clairvoyant vision, perhaps like Donna Eden, the famous energy healer, you could see, oh, your liver's got a little dark spot. Let's work on that. Of course, we're really clueless. Who would? I mean, that's just off the scales for us. And so we have a little dark spot, and it all shuts out before we're aware something's wrong. But if you have these type of sensitivities, you can see and you can hear when some type or part of your body goes flat or sharp or gets out of tune. And I saw these children, like they were playing with the toys, but the idea was to sing its song, its composite frequencies, and to kind of play with the song until it always was pretty colors. And when you read these old legends, and they're legends, certainly not proved, but across the globe, they talk about people living, I don't know, 300 years or so. That's even in the early Bible stuff. So anyway, what they would do is that they established consciousness with their body. And so now think of the Tibetan monks, that they can basically stop their heart and still live and bring it back. And that's certainly been observed many times. So there's no question that certain yogi monks can have certain control over things that are automatic. And so what I was seeing in my vision was people having control over their organs, and it was somewhat automatic. So if I could see that I must have eaten something bad, my liver's having troubles digesting it, I could sing a little tune or hum it up and, you know, make it pretty again, make it harmonious, or communicate with it. And another idea I got from this vision was kind of like your body's a universe. And you're this beautiful sun, and so in a unit, or maybe a solar system, we'll say, and like there's the sun, let's say that's maybe your heart, and, you know, one of the planets could be likened in this analogy to your liver. And so there was these like living entities within your body, and they would establish consciousness with their organs. So they could see and clairvoyantly see and clairaudiently hear, and try to make sure that their organs were up and running properly. And then they could communicate with them, much as they could telepathically. They have these stories about communicating with plants, for example. So anyway, that was my vision, all kind of airy-fairy. But after I kind of came back, I thought about it. And again, much thanks to you, Sherry, for your bioacoustics and work, because you have so educated me and given such a foundation to me. Thank you. And so then I thought, well, wow, we can do that today. That's not lost. So what I did was I went and got the frequencies for the organs, and because they do have a song when they are healthy, and they have little subcomponent parts, and I went off the ancient method when they really wanted a complete sound, they would use like a harmonic cascade. And they used this thing called the Greek lambdoma, and that would be their like calculator for doing harmonics. And harmonics kind of gives you the full sound process. I like to think of a harmonic as like a tone, and then it's after ripple. If you were to do it in an analogy, you could drop a rock into a water pond, and it makes a big hole as the rock goes down, and then you see the ripples coming out. So a harmonic is like the ripple. So anyway, I did the tones and the harmonic cascades. So people could start to memorize the sounds of the organ. And then I just go into a little meditation, and I bring up all the ancient Chinese and Hindu associations with emotions per organ. And so we start to learn that, let's say, the frequency of worry lines with, you know, would match with the inside of our tummy, and that's why when we worry through resonance, the energy transfers on the same frequency, goes from worry right to the lining of our tummy, and we could get an ulcer. So there's these ancient associations between emotions and organs. So I just go in and I describe the organ, and I get you to feel and contact your organ, spend a little time starting to communicate or at least feel what it feels like, and then we'll go in and we'll start consciously clearing negative energies associated with the organ. And they also used in ancient times sounds associated with elements to tweak and balance an organ. And so I just put all this ancient lost history all in one little CT, and it takes you through a process to establish control, connection, communication, contact, and give you the tools to start to bring it into harmony and balance. I'm really excited about it because I've been doing it. It's new. I mean, it's on my site. I can, hopefully it's up. It's only been up a day or two. It's called Deep Wave Body Healing. And I've been doing this for a couple months now, and I definitely can communicate with my spleen. And I know how different my spleen feels than my pancreas. And when they start to get out, I'm starting to go in and tune them up.
And this and is wow. This is a CD you've made for people?
Yeah. It's called Deep Wave Body Healing, hot off the press.
Deep Wave Body Healing, and it's Jill's Wings of Light, if you want to go to her site. I'm fascinated by the things on your site. Here's one. The resonant frequencies of the King's Chamber thousands and thousands of years ago correspond with the resonant frequencies found in the four basic nucleotides of your DNA. And you're saying not only do we know that frequency corresponds to DNA, but it corresponds to each organ. Is the premise here that we could tune up each organ and even our cells from music and sound, or thinking about it from the inside of our brain and inside of all of our cells, and we could become perfectly healthy?
Absolutely. The ancient idea is that you simply recognize the organ. Like if people are listening right now, perhaps just take a minute and start to feel, ask what your heart feels like and just focus where it is. Everybody knows where it is. Maybe touch it. And just start to get into, you know, how does it feel? And then if you were to just take a second to do that.
Jill? I would like now, to play your heart music, because when that heart music, you sent it to me and I listened to it, before I even noticed what it said, I just was clicking on them, I could feel my heart. You want to play a few minutes of that, a few seconds?
Sure.
Imagine your heart. It is a...
Is this one of them that you're talking about?
Yes.
One of the
yes, it
DNA
is.
One? I don't know if it was the beat of the heart in there, but the instant that came on, I could feel my heart. Now, does that mean it's out of rhythm, or in tune or
well,
out of
the whole idea is to feel your heart, and then I have the ancient methods of making sure your heart is happy and in balance, and the frequencies and the Lambdona harmonic patterns. And so each meditation is about 5 minutes per organ. And as you go through the CD, you get a feeling and you establish connection with that organ. So then what you do is, like, if I start overdoing it and feel a little tired, I just kind of scan my body. I can feel where the stress is. I know what it feels like because of repetitions, not because I'm special. I've just listened to the CD a lot. I created the sounds. I've memorized them. So now I can then go to that little spot. I know what's in my body there. And I just bring in that joy. I can connect. And you know, like I know, for example, you know, one organ might resonate with a positive emotion and another organ is going to resonate with a different positive emotion. I just feel that, send it, and then it's like I restore. And then it's really cool because I could do it while I'm walking to the grocery store.
It's fascinating to me that you say on your site, the songs of great monuments and places are kind of architecture as frozen music. So architecture has all of these sounds and compositions of different notes put together. Do you think the ancients knew this much more readily than we do?
Absolutely, absolutely. They were clairvoyant and clairaudient early people. They could see that sounds that equated to shapes found in nature. In other words, nature is very healing. And if they had music, they always would look for number patterns in nature. All their music was nature. They believed God created nature. So if they ingested the perfect harmony and balance of nature, they would be closer to God. This is ancient man's philosophy. And so all of their music and all of their buildings, they are sacred geometry, which is another word for saying they are shapes found in nature, reduced to numbers. And so once they're reduced to numbers, their buildings are the spiral found in the galaxy and in a seashell. And that's also their musical scales. And so you can find these healing, and they would hear sounds out of shape. So they could tell which ones are harmonious and beautiful, and they're the ones from nature. And I do that in my Paint Your Soul and Stardust CD. I take all these patterns found in nature, in heaven and earth, the God favorites. He's got favorite toys big time. And they're number patterns, and you see them 1,000 times in your body. You can't go in nature without seeing them. It's like God's got favorites, and they're shapes and number patterns, and you convert them to music. And then if you take, like, Carillion photography and look at your aura, you'll see that after you listen to my Paint Your Soul of Stardust or spend an afternoon in nature, you start to light up. It's healthy. It grounds you. It connects you with the stars. And we've lost the knowledge of how beautiful, uplifting, and how whole that can make us. And, of course, they're in buildings. They have buildings that clear your chakras. They have buildings that create the, you know, seashell shapes, that create all kinds of sound patterns that slowly, subtly improve your health. And here's another ancient concept. The concept is we are here to master matter. And it's pretty hard for me to try to change the shape of my shoe. It's solid, it's plastic, that. But there might be, sound, music, thoughts, and feelings are easily controlled. We can say, I'm going to calm down right now and just start to breathe slow. And that's not as hard as changing my shoe into something else. But I can change my feelings into something else. So they looked at music and shapes and colors as things that we could, like, mold and control. And then if we did them enough, they're going to form into matter. science that proves out, and that way we control matter. We don't control matter when it's too hard to change a shoe into a flower, but we can go in there and change and control our thoughts and our feelings. And even that's a little tricky, but music will do it automatically.
Do we have to be a medium, a clairvoyant like you? Do we have to be talented? Do we have to be a musician? Can anybody do this?
Anybody can do it. You need no special skills. We all memorize things. If you do something enough, it's a habit. And that's the whole point of my CDs, is just to reintroduce the concept. Hey, you can go in there and establish control with your organs. You do it a few times, you memorize the feeling. It's that easy. Think of it this way. Imagine your mother in the room. And you know, it feels a little different when your mother's in the room than when you, let's say, go to her house and the house is vacant. It's that subtle little feeling, and everybody can do it. That's all the skill you need.
Wow. Is this...
Very simple.
Is when you talk people through this with the heart music in the background, you talk, take them through their heart and their liver and their spleen and whatever, is that meditation you have on there... that is helping them remember with words, and the music is just to seed it in there?
Well, with what I'm doing is I'm describing the organ, and in the, if you buy the hard copy, I have a, you know, little picture. So I'm describing the organ and locating it in the body, because a lot of people don't know where the gallbladder is. I know before I started, before I had the vision, I didn't. So, because if you're going to consciously connect with it, it's nice to know what it looks like and where it is. And then I go, and meanwhile, in the back time, I'm playing all these subtle little tones, which are very impactful, which are the sounds of healthy organs. I've got it through the whole meditation. So, as soon as I start in, you're getting into the sounds and you're tuning the heart automatically. And then I go into the ancient methods for clearing catharsis of negative emotions associated with the organs. And then different ancient techniques where they would balance and harmonize, you know, what's the perfect color, tone, emotion, frequency, element. What are all these things that have always been associated with that healthy organ? And then I sound them. So why I'm suggesting, you know, the heart's associated with the element of fire, I'm playing fire. And I'm giving you the frequency of fire that way. And that is ingesting in your heart. And then I go into like just a little meditative cascade after we kind of establish connection. I want you to feel about your organ, remember what it feels like, and I just play beautiful music, which happens to be synced to the key, the bass note, the music matches the tones of your organ. And then I put these harmonic cascades. It's an ancient, the Lambdoma is this ancient chart that tracks harmonics, and I put in all the harmonic cascade for the organ. And so you just kind of meditate, and after a while you get a feeling, okay, this is what my heart feels like when it's healthy. And this is how I check in and see what it's feeling like. And if I want to know that, if I'm out, if I'm down, if I have a heartache, if someone hurt me, then I just remember. I remember what it feels like when it feels good. And then I start to draw in that energy, and it rebalances because I'm in charge.
I want to ask a totally off-the-wall question. May not have a thing to do with what's going on, but I've been having trouble with my blood sugar, so I figure it's either my liver or my pancreas. But I've been noticing something that's happening to me mentally. I've been jumping back in history and remembering things that I think I did wrong or that embarrassed me or that embarrassed somebody else I knew I should have done. Are those thoughts banging at your brain a way that your body's telling you something's out of balance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it would also resonate with an organ or a body function.
Wow.
Absolutely. You're right on target. So that's why in the meditation, I give you the frequencies, but I also give you the ancient associations with the feelings. It's like this. It's resonance. You have two violins, A on one. The other violin's real close. You don't touch the other violin. That A is going to sound. It's like there's this little invisible gerbil tunnel, and all the A frequency from one violin transfers to the other. So in this example, I worry. It's a certain cycle per second. And you know that very intimately. And then I worry, but my lining of my tummy or inside my stomach, there's the same frequency as worry. So why, when I worry, do I get an ulcer in my stomach instead of a big lesion in my head? Because the frequency is the same. And it's the same with the organs. And so, yes, when you're having a flashback of a certain type of emotion, it just keeps coming up in your brain. Is that going to link to something in your body? Absolutely. It's like everything in your body is trying every way to heal through your mind, through your emotions, through your felt, through your desires for what you want to eat, what you want to wear that day. So your body's like trying to heal you. The question is, can you get a big enough dosage to do so?
So if I wanted to release that, I could just play your music and say, okay, this is healing. I forgive myself for being so ignorant about other people's feelings or whatever I said wrong. And your music would help me forgive myself?
That's the idea. It's to take. It's saying this. What I'm saying is your lack of forgiveness, it's not an abstract concept. Think of it as an ingredient that you use when you're baking cookies. It's an ingredient that they would use in hermetic magic for a spell. An emotion is an energy. Like if you're going to get revved up, you want to be excited. If you want to calm down, that's a different frequency. It's also a different emotion, and they're connected. So when you do catharsis, and this I got off the ancient Greeks, they would heal. It's like you're, I'm going to go back again more, it's like you're, every person is a container, and we'll liken it to a skyscraper. And so you can take in frequencies from the stars, like in my side Stardust CD, I'm bringing you literally heavenly sounds and frequencies that are, ancient man would say would bless you, bless you, bless you. And so you bring in that from the top. You could bring in earth tones, which I do my Paint Your Soul CD, and it's like bringing up the healing from the earth. And then you could have windows that are like the emotions, and you can bring in that healing in from the side. But either way, the emotion is an energy. It's a thing. It's a quantity. It's because it's invisible. It's not nothing. It's not a concept. It's an energy, and if you do not release your negative emotions, there's something else, the same frequency in your body. You can't see it, but that negative emotion is stuck in you. And it often means just common sense. It's subtle, soft little energy, and if it gets stuck behind strong muscles, it can't get out. So the ancient idea of catharsis, which I do in my flower symphonies, is you go in there and you find that negative emotion, and just imagine like a little ghost hand. You go in there and you shake it up. And then you feel it, and then with intent, you release it. That's why people are devastated. They go to the bar. They want to feel sorry. If you're going to be Miss Sunshine, they're going to slap you in the face. They're going to go in the bar and listen to sad music. Subconsciously, that's healing. They're being one with that negativity, and little drop by little drop, it's leaving them. It's a thing. It's an energy. It's not nothing. And so when you start to go in and start to release negative energies, and I'm even doing it per organ, you're taking that subtle energy out. And then it's a dosage game. How much negative energy do you have? And how much, what kind of work have you done to release it? Once again, it's hard to do that with our willpower. It takes a lot of time. You know, all of us have had so much pain. I don't know if anybody who hasn't. But when you do it with music, heck, you can have it while you're driving the car, doing the dishes, and you're just constantly taking that crap. Wow.
You have an article on your blog, Using Sound to Convert Negative Energy too positive and you're talking about pain. When this builds up so much, is that where the pain comes from?
Pain is an energy blockage, usually. Yes. You get all that negative crap in there and it blocks energy, and that subtle energy, and that correlates to health issues if it gets up enough. I can't remember what exactly is in that article, but an ancient technique for getting rid of or modifying pain was this. They would feel a pain in their body and they would give it a sound. And the idea behind that is like when you say ouch, it's like starting to take the blockage out. The vibration of the blockage of the damage starts coming out on your ouch. And that's why we spontaneously make certain sounds. So you give your pain a little tone and you're starting to funnel it out at a faster rate. And then what I do in the exercise, and again, this isn't mine, this is many, many thousands of years old, you sing it up a next octave, like, and then you do it in your mind because voice can't go any higher. And as you go up, it'll transform into the most beautiful energy. And then you just remember that and bring it back, and you don't have your pain. And that little technique's about 3,000 years old, at least.
Again, wow. I've always thought that musicians, especially ones that work with fingers a lot, like pianos and oboes, and, you know, not just some slidey thing, but something where they're actually working with both hands doing different things, I always thought they were in touch with some other place that the rest of us couldn't get to. When you bring all this stuff in, do you go out to the ethers and touch some other place, get in some other flow that the rest of us have a little trouble getting there?
Well, I would say I think artists and musicians tend to be a little bit more antenna-like, and for good and for bad, and that it's going to sound kind of like a compliment, but it's really maybe even an insult at the same time, because sometimes, like when I compose a symphony, I just hear it, and I really feel like it's cosmic plagiarism. I mean, I don't know who put that ear, that music. I mean, I can hear it. And so I just feel like I'm cheating. But it's beautiful and it blesses people, so I cheat. But and then sometimes I'll think I'm doing it myself, and I'm crediting, I like this, and I'm just humming a little tune. I'm not using any brain power. I'm just humming. And I come up with something I like, and I start to use it. And then I look and I see all these mathematic patterns. I believe that's coming up in my new book, that that when you look through the ages, when you look at the music through the ages, it's like you have the Hindu music. It's always based on C. They'll tune, when you go to an ancient Hindu concert, and there are Hindu musicians alive that do this today, the master musician shows up 45 minutes, an hour late, and everybody's to be there, and they're tuning you to C, which is their signature note. And you know that correlates to certain emotions and colors and feelings. And so they're like setting everybody in the audience to one particular frequency, and then they work with healing from that. So the Hindus, we're going to classify them as red, orange, same color the monks wear, the Tibetan monks. And then you can do the same for the ancient Chinese music, only it's green. And then, you know, you can go through these different colors and see that each great epic is creating through their music a vibratory matrix to help people master a specific emotion. Said differently, the Chinese were into balance. The Hindus like to get into a high Sadmahali trance. You know, the Greeks were into healing emotionally. And so I'm saying the same thing, and I'm saying that the music of the different epics allowed mankind to master certain things in matter, particularly certain emotions. And so it's almost like now that we have all these histories behind us, it's like if we need help in a certain area, we can respond to the prescriptive music of an ancient time. And that's coming up in my ancient Lost Ways of Time music. It's just showing how much vibrations affect you, and that through time we learn certain lessons, and they're tied to music, and we can quit being unconscious and being lambs and start being masters and choosing what it is we want to be. And the fastest way to get there is through sound and music.
Is this having to do with brain integration, so that once the brain is integrated, it can take next steps?
Absolutely. It's like on your computer, you've got something up on the top screen, and you're working on a little document, and in the background works a virus scan. So as we evolved, okay, maybe at one point in time, we were worrying about controlling our heartbeat or something, but now we've done it so many times, our body does it automatically, and so many times we've even forgot how to control it. It's like the brain only has so much space to focus on one thing at a time. So as you learn a skill and it becomes automatic, it's like you free up memory space to learn something new. And when you look at the ancient music, you see it again. You see the colors in their music, because like red, cycles per second of red is going to equate to the musical note C. So you see people learning C, and then people learning D in the emotions and the physicality learning with D, and then they learn E. And so you go through history, and now they've gone to the whole musical scale. And that happened at the time of the Renaissance. And that was the first time in the history of the earth that you started hearing such thick harmonies. Exactly because of what you said. We had mastered the individual components. We no longer had to use our brain spaceage to process that type of energy. It's more automatic. And that allowed the classical composers to create thick music, meaning oboes, clarinets, violins, timpani, all these instruments going different ways at the same time. And so we build skill by skill, and we just keep adding to our toolbox.
I'm going to make a gross generalization here and then bring us back to some more reality. I think these kids working in these video games with both hands and even typing with both hands doing different things are forming some form of that integration that music did. I don't know if it's taking the place of it, but I'm certainly seeing very young kids working on computers and coming out with brilliant wisdoms. It's just incredible. So we'll see how that goes. But you have on your Jill's Wings of Light, and go to the store section, people, if you want to look at what this is, and it says contacting angels and masters. Is this music that will allow us to tune into that same flow that you're in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the ancient people talk about angels and masters. And you noted that they're always associated with colors, like Saint Germain's violet, and Jesus is yellow, Buddha's green, and Archangel Michael's blue. And they, like you, are associating with the frequencies or the cycles per second of blue. They're associating emotions, I feel blue today, or a soft kind of nurturing feel with blue. And they're associating that with parts in your body, certain health issues, physicality. And so it's like if in the lifetime, ascension means you master white light, which means you can master your red motions, yellow, orange. You can master all the emotions represented by all the colors, represented by the tones in our musical scale. And you get your degree in white light. And then a master angel will start to get a graduate degree, like in violet, but would also be a graduate degree in transformation and purity and the things that resonate with the frequency of violet. And so in antiquity, the musical scale association with ascended masters, vibratory energy, and ascended masters is already ancient and established. So what I do in there is I give people the feeling, the links, the actual energy of the Ascended Master so that they can start to download that energy and start to recognize it to work personally with angels and masters, and to select an angel or master to work with based on their current need. For example, if I have a certain health issue, simply meditating on Saint Violet, my Saint Germain might be the answer to my health issue or my emotional issue, because he has a certain frequency, and if I can identify I need him right now, my healing's much faster than if I were to work with a master with yellow or some other color. So I channel angels and masters, so I know what they feel like. If said differently, if I walk into the house and my mother was there, I know how that house feels. If I walk into that house and she's not there, the house feels different. I can recognize her presence. And I do that with the angels and masters. It's a skill everybody else has, nothing special. And so I found one time by mistake that their energy records. So I have, like when we do, I have like a little meditation garden in this angel and master CD. So we're playing the music of, let's say, Violet. I'm channeling the frequency pattern because it records, and you can actually recognize the master through the silence, because their energy, just like your mother sitting next to you, their energy records. So I'll play the masters, and then I'll go into their emotional strengths. And, of course, the music is going to be music primarily based on the color violet. And you just do it over and over and over again, and you start to, sounds in proximity, they change each other. So as above, so below. So you start to ingest their energy, and then I have a meditation at the end introducing you to your guides. You can start to recognize and use and work with them. They're not here for special few. They're not here for the enlightened. They're here for anybody they can help. They want you to work with them. They evolve by people help asking them for help.
Can people download these, or do they? How do they get in touch with you to purchase these from you?
The angels and contacting angels and masters is on my site, and also it's CD Baby, and it's cdbaby.com. You can just insert Jill Matz, and they'll bring up my CDs. They're downloadable, and also in the store in my site, there's a link to CD Baby. So you can get the, they'll give you the, if you don't want to buy the hard copy, they'll give you the downloads.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just saying music is so cheap. You look at any other modality, and it is far more expensive, and the most powerful one is the least expensive, the most accessible. Wow.
Well, I think your music is incredible in how it moves the body. And we've been talking about doing things for good, but the ancients, and in your book, Lost Waves of Time, you talk a little bit about this. How did the ancient leaders use this to manipulate people, and how can we stay away from that?
Okay. I got to give you a twofold answer. When I'm going to talk about the negativity of sound, how they used sound and music to control you, and how you can start to be the master and take more charge. So help me stay on track. Okay, first of all, let's think. You can use sound to blast your kidney stones to smithereens. I'm not saying this is true, but I'm saying in many ancient mystery schools, in fact, most of them, they attribute the sinking of Atlantis to misuse of sound. I'm not saying that neither here nor there, but ancient people believed that. That is so. And therefore, all of this secret esoteric information went into what they called mystery schools. It's a little way of saying, hey, the information's for me, ta-ta for you, you don't get it. And you'd have to prove your valor, because they wouldn't give such potent information to someone who didn't have honesty and integrity, da-da-da-da-da. And to get into these schools, and then you would have to prove yourself through initiate, disciple, adept, and they would only give the sound stuff to masters and adepts, because you can use sound to control people, period. Your brain waves will sync to frequencies and vibrations, heard, even unheard. Your emotions will do the same. So you'll find in each ancient culture, they're trying to empower their people. So you'll see that the Chinese, they had a department of measurements where everybody's flute, and the pitch of a flute would be determined by the length of it and the distance between the holes. You would have to take your flute in order to play one into the government and make sure they measured it so it's exactly the same as another. Because they would believe if there's only one musical instrument, this is antiquity, in one village, and they're all tuning to like an A, and the next village is me, and then they would believe that those two sounds, when played together, sound really crappy, and they would anticipate that those two groups would hate each other or have a crappy relationship until they retuned them into harmony. That's just one technique, because they want their people, of course, to be the strongest. And then if they're going into war, they're going to have, they're going to have music to make you feel larger than life. And then they would also have music to terrorize their enemies. And I might be pronouncing this wrong, the Maharaya, this big famous Indian text, they talk about having some drum that they need three elephants to paw, so big. And they're doing it to terrify the crap out of their enemies. So they're using sound in all kinds of positive and negative ways, and they are definitely keeping the circle of who knows what very, very small. And Hitler, for example, was into this kind of information. He was very esoteric. And so we've got number one, that sound can kill, it can hurt, it can also blast. And that is old as days, people have been using sound to control people's thoughts, feelings, loyalty, priorities, all that kind of stuff. And then the third thing is, what can you do about it? And let me say this, the stronger sound always overcomes the lesser. If you are a beautiful, loving light, you are not going to be taken over by their little flimsy broadcasts. You are going to shut down their broadcasts. So one thing is the best way you can bless the earth is to be the most beautiful person you can. And I don't think we can comprehend how incredibly powerful that is. And then the second thing is that we live in duality, and we can stockpile negativity, or we can use negative sounds for cathartic release and kind of like a lifeline to get the crap out of us. So when you read through antiquity, the ascended masters and these mystery schools will talk about some of the very dissonant music of the classical composers, such as Schoenberg or some of these others. I mean, they compose stuff that make you sound like fingernails going down the blackboard. And the ancient ascended masters' teachings will say, some people were so stubborn, so hard, so set, that some delicate little angelic music just couldn't even get near their defenses. It's almost like they had to have a jackhammer and get in them and shatter all this subtle little energy to pieces to give them a chance to kind of like regroup and reform. And so intent comes in there. So you can listen to your rap music, which is sometimes got the most awful lyrics, not always, but sometimes, and it can sound like a jackhammer, dun da 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 da. It's got a one beat, a one tone, and so it can be used for you to keep adding negativity, or it can be used to get rid of all the negativity you've had through this life and past lives and all the pain. It's really up to you. Who is it that you want to be?
Is there societies, like, what's this idea that you can't have this number, 666? Are there societies without music? Are they also without numbers? Is there societies that are just there to control?
Okay. What I know in it, and I don't know the complete picture, but for those people who don't understand, 666 in the Bible, and particularly in Revelation, is the sign of the beast. It's the coming of the Antichrist. And it's associated in the Catholic Church with evil. But very often in the Catholic Church, in its inception, remember that it's in competition. I'm talking about the early days of the Catholic Church. Its competition is Rome, the pagans. Its competition is the ancient Egyptian mysteries, power, lore, the Sumerian gods and their magic. It's the Druids. And so they would often take something that was revered in these other disciplines and say, of the devil. Like, for example, the Fibonacci series of numbers, in between, that's the number pattern that you find in a spiral or a seashell or in a galaxy. It's all over. It's one of God's favorite patterns. And in between that is the mathematical constant pi. Like, if you take the two numbers, adjacent numbers in that series, you always create pi or the golden mean. It's just a number, 0.1. It's an irrational number. And the ancient people revered it. And the Catholic Church said it's the music of the devil. So my belief, and this is just my belief, please, listeners, you make up your own mind, is that what's really cool about 666 is it's really a part of a bigger series, 369. And that's what your solfeggio tones are all about. They're, when you reduce them down to gematria, there are 369 pattern. And in many ways, I think that's a very valuable sound pattern in duality. You think of, there's positive and negative, but there's also neutral. You say a coin has two sides, but really has an edge. You say you have a right and left half of a zipper, but you also have a clasp joining it together. And I believe that the 666 represents neutrality. Just my opinion. And then the 3 and the 9 would be the positive and negative poles. That's certainly what ancient man would say. In the solfeggio tones, which are a pattern of 3, 6, and 9 when using gematria, they light up your aura like a Christmas tree, which correlates to health, blessings, feeling good, thinking good. I don't personally fear 666 at all.
I think it goes back to how our biochemistry is formed when I look at it in the numbers. We can look at how sounds are put together and look at the architecture and, well, this is for the physical body, well, this is for the emotional body. And the 3, 6, and 9 to me is for the processing body, whether it be your liver or your brain. But this is the kind of thing that you talk about in Lost Waves of Time. I've read the first part of this, and it is so fulfilling and peaceful and gives so much information between the lines. Can you talk a bit about why you wrote Lost Waves of Time and when it's coming out?
I'm shooting for July, and I'll have it up on my website as soon as I do. I might even put a pre-order page up soon. I don't know. I talk with my guides often, and when I'm to write a book, I always know. And like when I wrote my ancient sounds book, I interviewed different sound healers, and I'm using the ancient concept of using sound for very positive purposes and starting to master your world by controlling sound, which is the most powerful vibratory energy, and you choose who it is that you are. And the people showed up at my doorstep. I mean, strangers handed me books. It was like I was led from step to step. So I am very clear that I have been given this information and that I'm being asked to get it out. In Lost Ways of Time, I think many objectives are going to be accomplished. And again, I feel like I was guided heavily to do this. Stuff landed in my lap, literally. So anyway, but through Lost Ways of Time, I think there's a lot of things that could benefit. I'm a musician. You learn what you learn in college. It's Renaissance Ford. It's a lot of hobbledock. I mean, you know, it's like it's almost diverting people from the true power of what you have in sound and music. And I think this book could radically change the concept of what a musician is. and perhaps lining a musician with a physician. And then the book also, I think, can influence our view of history and evolution, because I don't think you can separate the music of the epic with the accomplishments of the group. For example, you have the very feminine music of Greek, ancient Greek, and look at the delicate, beautiful statues. There's a relationship. And of course, they're bringing forth all of the healing emotions. You look at the Roman music, and they have masculine instruments. They're doing band instruments. They're doing marches, and they have the Colosseum. They have the army. They're bringing in the energy. So I don't think you can separate history and music. And I think we need also to look at our mental health and our physical health and start looking at the different music from the different eras and the sound and the vibration and how it affects our body and how it affects our mind and how it opens up our psychic skills. What a potpourri! I mean, everything's here, and it's right in front of our noses. And I think this book is going to start to say, hey, everybody, look what's here. And it's a starting point. It's a starting point for people to regain power over all these unseen energies and even seen energies.
What it brought to me was unity, because it's in every society. There's pieces of it, maybe a little different way, but it brought together, we're all alike, we're all moved by the same music, by the same math. We have a common creator, is what this book brought to me. But the research that you have done to pull out every society and look at the timelessness of music and the unity of all society was flabbergasting to me. Yes, all this facts and stuff that you pulled out took incredible amount of time. Yes, it's a lot of knowledge. But the whole theme is unity to me. But that's just my concept. And that's what was so moving to me about, you can take all the pieces and you can link them, just like every number is linked to every number in some way, in some path. So that was incredible. Jill, you have an incredible amount of knowledge about music and history, and there is a group that has tapped into your sources. Would you talk a little bit about the New Earth group that you're associated with?
Yeah, New Earth Nation is a group that is tired of saying what's wrong with the world, and they've decided to say what's right and go off the grid and create it. And again, me and my visions, I do this a lot, as I said earlier. I tend to leave my body, and then I have these amazing experiences, and then I come and think on them. And in my visions, I have seen the earth, and I see like little pods all over the earth. And it's almost like the earth gets a little dichotomized, and there's these little groups of people that come together in community, and they're very high energy, and they are also located on ley lines. So it's almost like, you know, again, we're highly influenced more than we know, that these little groups, little spiritual, or maybe not even spiritual, but just pure people, will pure goodness, will start to locate on ley lines, which would be places where the energy, like the earth's veins, where energy travels. And that is a vibratory influence to help and bless the earth as a whole and to take up the whole thing. And so anyway, that was my vision. And then I met Jean Marie from New Earth Nation, and her guides told her, you know, go rope in Jill. And so I saw her guides, and I saw they were very beautiful. So I was very happy to be with this. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're going discipline by discipline. Like they'll do health, or they'll do you know, I'm working with the Sound and Music Academy, and they're just bringing forth the new information, and they're setting up campuses all over the earth, and they're going off the grid, and they're recreating in their best imagination. What is the best blessed way to live? They're tired of complaining. They're tired of conspiracy theory. They're just doing what they think is right. And heck, what everybody else thinks.
Aren't they evaluating, examining, and testing some of your music to help heal the planet?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're very innovative. It's like you come up with a really cool idea, and I start working with them and ask them, and next thing you know, there's a whole team of volunteers willing to test, willing to implement, willing to distribute, to change the world. It's just it's a no-complain zone. It's what's right. And if we think we have an idea and we want to test it, hey, we'll do it. Bam, done.
That's great. It's really cool.
They can
get in touch with these people through you. How can people get in touch with you?
On my website, I do have a contact me, or Jill I. Matson, M-A-T-T-S-O-N, at Yahoo. And the New Earth Nation, just get online. I think it's newearthnation.org.
And they can go to your site, Jill's Healing Music. Go to the site that is books, Ancient Sounds, Modern Healing, Secret Sounds, Ultimate Healing. You'll put out an announcement with your new book.
Yeah, and I have a half hour of free music on my website on the homepage. And it comes with a newsletter. Every 2 weeks I come out with another way to heal with sound. It's very powerful. There's several books worth of information in those newsletters.
And articles, and your articles are now being put in different newsletters, different books. I see a new article almost every week that you come out with. So it's just an incredible site. We are out of time, Jill. As always, as soon as this book comes out, we want to know about it. We have Jill on 2 or 3 times a year because there's always something new from Jill. And I think it is incredible, these ancient Atlantean healing codes. We didn't get to play enough of them. So as we go off the air, I think I will play the track one, bits of all of these, so people can listen. Thank you for being here, Jill. We will be back next week, and we'll be back.
Thank you. Thank you,
podcasting.
Everybody.
Jill, you're a sweet part of the world and the planet. We all appreciate you. Thank you for being here. And
thank you.
All of you, next week, please go visit Jill's site, and we'll talk to you later.
Liver.
Just play the front of each of these tracks.
The violet ray represents freedom, ceremony,
thank
mercy,
you for being here,
purity, and transmutation. Master.